Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Jesus saved. So good morning once again to everyone. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much, Youth Church Naton, for giving us a wonderful presentation. Let's give them again a warm appreciation by clapping. Yes. Praise God. So today is the first Sunday that God has given me it's an honor, a privilege to lead this church. And I would like to thank Pastor Tony and Pastor Lily for trusting me. And I also would like to thank you all for supporting me. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Praise God. Now is the day to believe. Not tomorrow, but today. If you have your Bibles, kindly turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Just reading two verses this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 2. I'll be reading from the NASB 95 version. Shall we read? And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Just would like to give you the background of this scripture. Paul was writing to people he cares deeply about. He helped to establish the church in Corinth, and he led many people there to faith in Christ. But at this moment, Paul was so concerned that some of them who have heard the gospel or who have heard the message of the gospel from him have not come to full faith in Christ alone for their salvation. And these two verses appeal to those who believe not to receive God's grace in vain, insisting that the day of salvation has come. Father, anoint your word. Save souls today, God. Holy Spirit, speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, the title of my sharing is Now is the Day to Believe. And there are three significant things in these two verses that I want to share with you this morning. The first is God's work. Second is God's grace. And third is God's time. First of all, let us talk about God's work. The Bible tells us, as workers together with him, or in our version, and working together with him. There is something good and important in work. Okay, when we are working, we should consider our work as something good. And this work that Paul is referring to is so good that God wants us to be workers together with him. This work is so good that God invites us. Paul is urging us to work together with God. You know, when the work is good, when you are working somewhere else and the work is good, you would recommend it to others. Hindi ba? You would recommend it. You would ask other people to work with you because that work is good. The word workers itself is also important. So both the work and the workers are important. Paul sees himself as a co-worker with Jesus Christ. He considers himself as a partner of Christ. And Jesus has given us, all of us, the ministry of reconciliation. That is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. That says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This ministry of reconciliation is the work. I was so touched by the lyrics of the song, more, more, more from Christ, more from God. And this is the work, the ministry of reconciliation, reconciling man to God. This is what we do in our barangay outreach. This is what we do in our e-community. And this is also what we do in our essential commission. It is not that God needed any of us. Instead, it is that God wants us to be workers together with Him for our good. I want to give you an example. Like, I personally always want Mike, my son, to work together with me. I really like it when he is beside me whenever I do something. Sometimes what he does may not be as good as I expect. So I told him what should be done and how it should be done. But the very fact that we are working together is a pleasure to me. And many times he does so well. Like for example, we bought a coffee maker. And I don't know how to operate. So I waited for him to be free so he could install it and practice mixing with it. I trust his taste. Not only that, I also had lyrics for a song. And I don't know how to put a tune into it. So I asked him to help me and he did it. The lyrics are mine. The music is his. So last Sunday, I asked Elder Joel and Sister Cheng's daughter, I asked her to listen to that song. My lyrics, Mike's music, and when the music went on, when it came to the chorus, Elle immediately said, "Oh, good. Oh, good." Sometimes also, like, when we buy water, I would wait for him because he will carry the containers and I will arrange them inside the van. That is working together. We work with God. By the way, before I forget, I would like to welcome Brother Joseph Preciosa. He is back, reunited with his wife and kids. It's a pleasure to see you, Brother Joseph. Maybe later on, I'll get to see you. God bless you. God bless you. We are all getting older, but still getting taller. Because our head goes above the hair already. All right? God wants us to work together with Him. The picture of an ambassador is really a good picture. We are all ambassadors for Christ. And this picture of an ambassador is very helpful in understanding the nature of being workers together with Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20, it says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us." So actually, my first point is for every believer and for every worker that we are in the work of Christ and we are the workers with God. An ambassador can rightly be described as working together with his king or with the president. Yet, the ambassador himself has no power or authority or agenda on his own. It is all bound up in his king. Whatever the king says, whatever the president says, that should be done. The king delegates power and authority to the ambassador and reveals his agenda to the ambassador. And then the king expects the ambassador to fulfill that agenda. Brothers and sisters, it is not our work that God helps us with. Even though sometimes God helps us. But it is His work that He asks us to do together with Him. instead of trying to get God to help us with our work, we need to find out what God's work is and do it with Him. Because God's best for our life is never a state of ease and comfort and indulgent inactivity. God wants us to be workers together with Him. Not couch potatoes, not pew potatoes. We are workers together with God. In application, God wants us to be workers together with Him in the kingdom as ambassadors who fulfill His agenda doing the ministry of reconciliation. My second point is about God's grace. From our key text, we find the word urge or plead. Here is an urging, pleading about God's grace, which is not to be received in vain. The grace of God that we received should not be received in vain. What does Paul mean when he says that he and his fellow workers urged or pleaded the believers in Corinth? The Greek word for urge or plead is parakaleo. Parakaleo meaning to call upon someone to do something. It's like, hey, come, let's do this. You do this. To exhort, admonish, or beseech with a stronger force. The word urge or parakaleo was used in the first century by authority figures who could command. Okay? Parakaleo is a word or is a admonition or exhortation from someone who has the authority to command but who were diplomatically asking. Just like, I have this authority. I have this authority given by the Lord, but I don't command you. I urge you. I don't say, work. Work with me. I should say, please work with me. Parakaleo, urging. It is an appeal to unbelievers not to ignore God's grace. It is an exhortation to nominal Christians to mature in their faith. It means to live up to the demands of the gospel. Do not receive the grace of God in vain. And the second word here, or the word grace here, means God's undeserved favor. We all received God's undeserved favor. People receive God's totally undeserved gift. Even a person's ability to believe is a gift from God. God has paved the way for people to be reconciled to Him. God has paved the way for us to be reconciled to Him by His grace. All we need to do is respond to the announcement of this good news. But how can anyone accept God's favor in vain? The phrase vain, V-A-I-N, referred to, number one, falling away from a profession of faith that was apparent but not genuine, and therefore going into eternity apart from Christ. Vain means you profess. You say you have faith, but it is genuine. It is not genuine. It is not real. It is not true. And secondly, vain referred to not developing Christ-like character, nor doing good works because of a life of backsliding. That is vanity. That is vain. And therefore having one's work burned at the judgment seat of Christ. In 1 Corinthians, Paul had warned the Corinthians not to build hay and stubble on the sure foundation he himself had laid, which is the gospel truth that Jesus Christ saves. Nobody wants to build a house that is made of hay. It will burn. It will not last long. Paul even warned that their work would be put through the fire of judgment. A person whose work was destroyed would still be saved, but would suffer great loss. The Corinthian Christians obviously had received the grace of God. And many of us here today, I can say all of us here today, we also received the grace of God. The Corinthian Christians would not be Christians at all had they not received the grace of God. And for us here today, we should not call ourselves Christians when we have not received the grace of God. But because we have received it, so we can confidently say we are Christians, yet receiving it, having received it, the problem with the Corinthian Christians was they were potentially guilty of receiving the grace of God in vain. So let me ask you this morning, did we receive the grace of God in vain? To receive the grace of God in vain means to receive the goodness and favor of God, yet to hinder the work of grace in your life. You receive that grace, but you are hindering that grace to work in your life. It means to receive the favor of God and to fail. We receive it freely and we fail. 1 Corinthians 15:10 tells us, saying ni Paul, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul here is expressing that he received God's grace. But after he received God's grace, what did he do? And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly. I highlighted here, labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Meaning to say that when we receive the grace of God, we are even working harder. It means after receiving grace, we must work in faithfulness, in diligence, and excellence. When we don't, we receive the grace of God in vain. When you receive salvation and you're not doing something about it, something for it, then you receive it in vain. Nangin wala pulos ang grasya. Remember, you did not work for it. It was freely given. Grace is freely given. But how we receive grace will help to determine how effective the gift of grace is. In Luke chapter 7, verse 47, this passage of scripture is a principle where Jesus explains that a person's capacity to love is directly proportional to their awareness of the magnitude of forgiveness they have received. What did Jesus say in Luke 7:47? He who is forgiven much, loves much. You know why we cannot love much? Because we didn't recognize that we have been loved much. A person who gives much recognizes that he has received much. A person who is gracious recognizes that someone or God has been gracious to him. He who is forgiven much loves much. This phrase highlights that deep gratitude for mercy fuels great love, which is often contrasted with loving little due to a lack of awareness of our own need for grace. Brothers and sisters, when you have received the grace of God, we should be more gracious. When we have received forgiveness, we should be more forgiving. Never forget that. Because I always remember how faulty I was, and I received forgiveness. And therefore, I choose to forgive no matter how faulty a person is, because I once was forgiven. I once was lost, but now I am found. You were once lost, but God found you. Grace is not given because of any works, past, present, or promised. Yet it is given to encourage work. God does not want us to receive His grace and become passive. God gives His grace. We work hard, and the work of God is done. Leaders of this church, we just would like to encourage you. You have received the grace of God. And when we work hard, work is done. But this is our struggle. Is God supposed to do the work? Or am I supposed to do it? Because God is gracious, because God is good, I don't have to work. Only God will do it. So is it my responsibility? Am I supposed to do the work? The answer is yes. God does work, and we do work. God works, and we work. Trust God, rely on Him, and then get to work. And work as hard as you can. That is how we see the work of God accomplished. If I neglect my end of the partnership, God's grace does not accomplish all that it might and is therefore given in vain. God is doing His part. Let us not fail to do our part because we are partners with God. In application, we need God's grace every day. Yesterday's grace is totally inadequate for the burden of today. And if we do not learn to lay hold of heavenly resources every day of our life, for the little things as well as the big things, we soon become stale, barren, and fruitless in the service of God. We need God's grace every day, and God's grace is there every day. Third point, and my last point, God's time. Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he quoted from this passage. It was from Isaiah chapter 49, verse 8, that says, "Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. And I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people to restore the land, to make them inherit the desolate heritages." Now I am trying to bring you back to the Old Testament during the time of Isaiah, because it was Isaiah who prophesied this. And Paul later on during his time also preached this to the Corinthian believers. What did Isaiah do? The prophet Isaiah predicted a time when God would save His people. That means Isaiah predicted a day, a time that God would save His people, that God would release them from bondage. How does God save? By releasing us from bondage and giving us a clear path to return. How does God save us? By giving us a clear path to return to Him And what else? To restore our fortunes. That is found in Isaiah chapter 49, 8 to 12, 23 to 26. God would do all this so that the whole world would know that He was Israel's Savior and Redeemer. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, the day has come, the time has come that God will save you. The day has come, the time has come that God will release you from bondages. That God will make a clear path for you to return. That God will restore your fortunes. God does it because He wants to show that He is our Savior and Redeemer. The Hebrews, Hebrew people who had heard Isaiah's message long ago would have understood this as a prediction that God would one day bring the Israelites back out of their exile in Babylon. It was a prediction that because the people of Israel, the Jews, would be exiled to Babylon. And Isaiah prophesied that they will return. And actually, they came back. Ezra chapter 1. By quoting and applying Isaiah 49:8 to us, Paul wants to give us a sense of urgency. Because Paul says, now. Isaiah says, now is the time. Now is the day. God has an acceptable time for us to be redeemed and be restored. God has a day of salvation. This is no time, brothers and sisters, for our lives to be consumed with ease, pahapos lang, and comfort and self-focus, only focusing on ourselves. It is time to get His favor. God's favor is above and better than your comfort, brothers and sisters. God's favor is better than anything else. It is time to get His favor. It is the day to believe and be saved. And when is that? When is that? What did Paul say? When is that? Today. Now. I have a classic illustration here where little children were talking. Two children were talking, debating about the merits of remembering, anticipating, and living life. They were talking. And the little girl finally says, yesterday is past. Tomorrow is future. All we have is today. Today is a gift. That is why it is called present. Correct? Today is the present. Today is a gift. God had a present today. He gave us time and salvation today. God had sent Jesus to the earth. It was the right time. Jesus died on the cross to save all who believe in Him. It was the day of salvation. God offers salvation to all people. But many people put off making a decision to receive God's salvation. Many of them, they want to delay, thinking that there will be a better time. But they could easily miss their opportunity. If you say today that I want to follow God tomorrow, my day will be tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late for you. There is no time like the present to receive God's forgiveness. I know that some of us here, it is unforgiveness. It is the guilt, as I was sharing earlier sa SEG. It is that guilt that causes us to really be troubled every day. The guilt of thinking that you have not been forgiven. You have committed a terrible sin. There is no time like today to receive God's forgiveness. Today is the day when God has revealed His great plan of salvation. Not only that, today can also be the day of miracles for you. Today can also be the day of restoration, healing, release when you believe. Today is the day to believe. As I close, I want to speak to the new ones here this morning. There is a time in God's economy when He listens to sinners and responds to those who are repentant. There is a time, the Bible tells us. And when is it? Now. Now is the time that God listens to sinners. Now is the time that God responds to those who repent. However, there will also be an end to that time. When God says now, it is now. It is not later. It is not tomorrow. It is not the next day. It is not next week. Now. Because now will end soon. Now will end soon. We should never think that there is always time so we can delay. No. There is no time to delay. Jesus is the present, the gift you need today. Believe Jesus will do something for you today. Shall we all stand right now this moment? And I would like to ask for some decisions, for a decision from you. The Word of God tells us, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to believe. Not tomorrow, not later, but now is the day to believe. The grace of God is here today. Many of us, we need to be released from our prison. Some of us, we are in bondage. Bondage to sin. You are bound by sin. Some of us, ang aton nga path is so dark, is so blurred, that you don't know how to return to God. Some of us here, we have like broken future. You don't know kung anong matabo sa imo buhas. Somebody broke it. But today, God wants to restore you. God wants to make a path again for you to return. God wants to break that bondage in your life. God wants to save you today because now is the day of salvation. And the only way to be saved is to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you want to be restored, if you want to be forgiven, kung gusto ni mo mapatawad, gusto ni mo nga maibalik, kung gusto ni mo nga ma-restore ang imo nga future, you want to be forgiven, gusto ni mo mapatawad, only through Jesus Christ. And that is not karon, hindi buwas, but now. Because now is the time for you to be saved. If you want to receive Jesus, if you want to be restored, if you want to be forgiven, hindi ka magsiling, ah, napatawad naman ako siguro sang Diyos. No. Hindi kita maghaum-haum. You need to come and ask God for forgiveness. If you are here for the first time, we have kagina around five newcomers. And you know that you need forgiveness from God. I invite you to come. To come forward. I-express ni mo ang imo nga pagtuo. Ang imo nga decision to receive forgiveness. To receive salvation. Yes, just come. Especially those kaginang, you are 5 or 6, how many of you, I cannot remember. Receive salvation today. Now is the day to believe. Now is the day to be saved. Please come, lead them to that side.